time is 5 p.m. and if it's 5 o'clock, it's hard copy. Is a presentation of the McKinney Group in collaboration with Sigma Management. All rights are reserved. The views expressed are those of the guests and the hosts and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. This is Hard Copy on the Gems New Media Radio Network. Hard Copy seeks to lay out the facts in simple fashion for the inclusion of all Bahamians and Bahamians at heart. The focus is to move forthright in our manner to build a progressive and developing country. Our desire really is for a Bahamas with a competent, skillful, and productive workforce. A country that can feed and sustain itself. A country with a brilliant, visionary action plan ready to embrace a future of hope and prosperity. On this show, we encourage like-minded Bahamians to participate with intelligent and honest contributions. After all, you know, we do have a country to build, jobs and industry to create, a people to inspire and empower, and generations of born and unborn Bahamians to protect and to plan for. And if not you, my brother, who? If not now, my sister, when? Today, we will talk in detail, and hopefully our guest will join us, on the separation of powers. The separation of powers. Understanding the Michael Barnett appointment as Chief Justice. This is some very interesting information and something that you ought to know about. And we invite your calls later on in the show at 326-4367. My expected guest is the Honorable Tennyson Wells, the former Attorney General of the Bahamas. We hope that he's on his way. And if he is not, we will, in fact, carry on with what we have here as we talk about the separation of powers, understanding the Michael Barnett appointment as Chief Justice. You want to listen to this, and you want to be involved, because today you get a chance to say your say after all the dust has been settled and the appointment's made. We didn't get a chance to talk much about it, but your thoughts today can be registered right here on the hottest show and the most potent 1 hour of talk radio under the Bahamian sun. This is Hard Copy, the Salvo in 60 seconds. Record of our achievements as individuals, as a people, as a nation. We are doing great and wonderful things, but who is keeping record? Will the next generation be able to mark our manner, to respect our contributions, to take pride and hope in our courage and our achievements of today? Will they even know that we were here and did our small part in building and shaping our land? How can they know if we, the people of today, fail to record and document our past and our present for posterity purposes? Tomorrow is calling. Begin today documenting. Call Five Star Films and Documentary and ensure the people of tomorrow see you in your splendor today. Five Star Films and Documentaries, 323-3439. Need to produce an ad, jingle, song, on-hold messages, audio for websites, wedding music loops, and so much more? DigiWave Studios can assist you in all of your audio production needs. DigiWave is a Pro Tool facility, one of the latest in digital multi-track recording. So give us a call at 677-5636 and speak to one of our professionally trained engineers. DigiWave Studios, Soldier Road North, telephone 677-5636. Monday, the 31st day of August in 2009, and as you battle the congested city streets and drive home traffic, welcome. We have sunny blue skies and 92 degrees right here in the nation's capital. Thank you so much for joining us on the drive home. This is Hard Copy, and it's being brought to you today by Sigma Management Bahamas and Down Sound Records, producers of the Millennium Countdown Concert Series in November. Also by Grant Thornton Bahamas, Expert of Trust, Five Star Films and Documentaries, Prince Lock and Key, Woman's Intuition, The 18 Reloaded. talking today about separation of powers. You've been hearing a whole lot about things along the lines of the appointment of the Chief Justice of the Bahamas. And some people found that appointment to be very, very quick. And in some cases, people found it to be kind of shocking. But the Michael Barnett appointment to Chief Justice of the Bahamas is still being talked about in many circles. Even though Mr. Barnett appears to be a suitable and qualified Bahamian for the prestigious post, there are still some with the talent of legal argument and political correctness who disagree with the Prime Minister's appointment of Michael Barnett as Chief Justice on August the 24th, 2009, last Monday. Now, most base their disapproval on this point known as separation of powers. Just what is that, separation of powers? The doctrine of separation of powers developed over many centuries. The identification of the three elements of the Constitution derives from Aristotle. In The Politics, he stated that there are three elements in each Constitution. The constitutional seeds of the doctrine were thus sown early, reflecting the need for government according to and under the law, a requirement enforced by some degree of a separation of functions between the institutions of state. The long and short of it, separation of powers is therefore related to the concept of checks and balances. The notion that government power should be controlled by overlapping authority within the government and the citizens' right to criticize government actions and eventually remove the government if they so wish at elections. The separation of powers bit. The doctrine simply is that each arm of the government, the executive, which is the cabinet, the legislature, which is the parliament, the judiciary, the courts, vest in a different branch to guard against abuse and tyranny. A government of separated powers is less likely to be tyrannical and more likely to follow the rule of law, the principle that government making it more difficult, or the principle that government action must be constrained by laws. Now, a separation of power can also make a political system more democratic by making it more difficult for a singular ruler, in this case the Prime Minister, to become dictatorial. What effects does the appointment of the Attorney General as Chief Justice have on the separation of powers? What effect does the appointment of the Attorney General as Chief Justice has on the separation of powers? That's a heavy question. Let's listen to that again. Because, you see, we've got to understand this to understand what is happening here and what all of this argument may, in fact, be all about. Because some who are just apolitical will simply say, well, you know, you do this, people want to make noise, the Prime Minister has the right to do this, and he does. And then some are saying, well, that's the choice that has been made. Let us live with it, and let us understand that we all should just get along and get off this political thing. But is this really something that we can dismiss like that when you're talking about the separation of power? So the question is, what effect does the appointment of the Attorney General as Chief Justice has on the separation of powers? Let's talk today. 326-4367, 326-4367. You can weigh in with me on this. Let me know your thoughts. There is a widely held view, my friends, in this case, that the Chief Justice, Michael Barnett, is apolitical. There's a view that he actually ran, well, there's a view that people hold and say he is apolitical because of this, that he actually ran for a seat in Parliament in the last election. He was a member of the cabinet up to Friday, the 21st day of August, 2009, and on Monday, the 24th, instantly was appointed Chief Justice. From Attorney General that he resigned of on Friday, Monday, Chief Justice. People figure that it is not about whether he is a person of integrity. It is not about whether he is competent to function in the post.
It is about, though, the appearance that since he is a politician connected to the government, it is the government, in the person of the Prime Minister, that is running the courts. It appears, then, that the liberty of the subject is threatened in that the Prime Minister could and may tell him, one of his former ministers, how to rule in a case. People are thinking this. What happens if there is a case against the government? People are asking. The perception is that the court would rule against you because of the connection between the Chief Justice and the government. This is the view of many people who are scholars in law and this kind of thing. Clearly, the appearance or the perception of bias is sufficient for many to be concerned about this separation of powers. Most say and ask the question, whose liberty is safe? Whose liberty is safe in this particular circumstance? And perhaps this is why the Chamber of Commerce is panicking. People with money, people who have big cases to come up, offshore banks, people who are wanting to take issue with the government, they in fact may have some cause for concern, is what those in the legal profession are saying. What do you say? What are your thoughts? Keep in mind now that the Prime Minister does in fact have the power given to him by the Constitution of the Bahamas to in fact appoint a Chief Justice after consultation with the leader of the opposition, which he did. The Chief Justice was sworn in on the 24th of August this year, last week Monday. Now, of course, you know the Bar Council has been making some noise, the Bar Association, the presidents, legal scholars, former attorney generals, opposition members, all kinds of people have been weighing in on this. But the point that they're weighing in on, fellow brothers and sisters, is not so much the political side, even though you can perhaps say, well, those in the PLP just playing politics, that's what people say, and paint them with that wide brush. But there's a more fundamental point that's being raised here. What of this idea that people believe, just based on the appearance, that since Mr. Barnett is a politician connected to the government, it is the government in the person of the Prime Minister that is running the courts, is what people see in this. It appears then, is a view, that the liberty of the subject is threatened, in that the Prime Minister could and may tell him, one of his former ministers, how to rule in a case. Do you see that? As laypersons, do we see that? This is what the professionals are saying, that this could be the case. And even though they're saying this has not been the case, the Prime Minister has not interfered, perhaps won't even interfere, but the perception, the very perception, the very appearance that it could happen is one that should cause concern about this appointment. Now, what are your thoughts today? Let's talk about it fairly and honestly. What is your thought? What are your thoughts? 326-4367, Ethan. Amos on the telephone line. Let's go to the calls. It's 15 past the hour. Ethan, how are you?
I'm fine.
Peace.
Yeah. Good afternoon to you, Steve, and now good afternoon, Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
With regard to that appointment, I see it as being mischievous, and liberty is indeed threatened. The chief, his previous job, he was privy to matters that have been brought against the government,
mm-hmm.
right? And ruled against the government.
Mm-hmm.
He is now getting a promotion
mm-hmm.
into another position.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely justice is being threatened.
Okay?
Knowing the MO of the CEO of the Bahamas, I always go to the House of Assembly to watch the whole ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Arlington once said, little boys now occupy a place where men once stood.
Mm.
Okay? Nobody have nothing to say. Okay? He is the chief of everything. The MO, if he appoints you, you will do as he say do. That's my view. He is going to rule. They're going to do as he said. Justice is being threatened because Bharat will say he owe it all to the PM. Iran, he lost. I promote you as a senator, give you a top spot. Now I'm elevating you higher. And it's like overnight. So you don't do that because justice is and liberty is being questioned. He cannot make nothing but integrity. Because I have the greatest respect for the gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a scholar, he's a learned fella, and his credentials speak volume for himself. But
no
the mere
question.
Fact that he was in camp and being in cabinet, you're privy to some secretive information.
Mm.
So therefore, being the Attorney General prior, I know for a fact he has information that which has been ruled against the government. Right?
So you,
now,
you go ahead.
But now, will that person get justice now? Because the fellows may say, well, I want to do something else, being appealed, and then let him come and make the decision.
Mm.
You see, because he has the two sides of the coins now.
Mm. This is quite interesting. And so you think that this is mischievous?
Yes, mischievous.
It threatens liberty, it threatens justice, and you figure that, do you think then that the learned brother, the Chief Justice, who is eminently qualified, no question, whose integrity is intact, no question, do you think that based upon the very appearance that there appears to be something that people could always have a case against and say, well, second guess it? Because of his affiliation, you think that he should recluse himself? You think he should move away from this post?
You, it is so sad because we have a such eloquent behemoth, and he just in a catch 22 position.
Mm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
But there are other people whom I feel was seeing it to him and has good credentials.
Like who?
In the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
You have Alan White, you have Justice Allen, you have Justice John Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go. These fellas have, these Bahamians have Stella Pereira.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They have been tested. They sit in the positions. And there are no doubt you have other Bahamians, no doubt. You have Brian Marie. Okay. Now, he was not part of a particular camp, per se. I'm just drawing reference of Bahamians. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Put him in the position.
All right.
Make other.
Let me see what else other people have saying about that today. I appreciate your call. You make some very good points. And, of course, these are things that we as Bahamians must have the conversation about. And we've got to be fair and look at it for what it is, because there are some who maintain in the judiciary, in the legal system, that this is not the best thing to happen because of Mr. Barnett's just recent affiliation within the cabinet of Mr. Ingram and, of course, Mr. Barnett's recent pass out from the Free National Movement's party, a political party. Now, of course, again, no one, I suppose, is questioning. Certainly the judiciary, certainly lawyers have been saying that they're not questioning Mr. Barnett's integrity. They're not questioning Mr. Barnett's capability. But the fact of the matter is that people see Mr. Barnett as apolitical because he actually ran for a seat in the parliament in the last elections 2 years ago and was a member of the cabinet right up until Friday the 21st. Now, the gentleman just now made mention of some very, very key things. And maybe Mr. Barnett will rise above all of that. And maybe this is a wonderful super appointment. But what are your thoughts? What are your real honest thoughts? Put yourself in the situation that you have a case against the government of the Bahamas that goes on to the Chief Justice. In your mind, would you be feeling as if, tell me the truth now, do you feel that you would get a fair trial? That's really what this amounts to. Now, some don't want to have the conversation, but this is hard copy. This is the people's show. This is where you get to express yourself. This is where the big boys of the game, including the nation's chief executive, listen in to find out and hear what you have to really say about this. Because A lot of people have convoluted views about this because they're so close to it. We have no axe to grind. We ask the question on this separation of powers. There's a legitimate claim in this from the Chamber of Commerce's president, Kayla's Rule. There is one from the Ruth Bodawel, the Bar Association. And maybe if they're listening in, they can call us too and to give some kind of weight to what it is that they are saying. Because for the most part, most persons want to put this behind them and get on with the show of running and building the country. But do we go ahead and do so, even though the appointment has been made, and then stop in the middle of something and there's a big row that erupts because somebody says they have not gotten justice because X, Y, and Z, and they bring up all of this stuff? Let's talk about it. Put it in the clear now. What are your thoughts? What effect does the appointment of the Attorney General as Chief Justice has on the separation of powers? Amos, how are you?
My friend, my brother.
Peace.
Bahamas, good afternoon. Steve, because we don't have campaign reform, I'm not only going to look at it from if I want to bring a case against the government. If the government is bringing in multi-billion-dollar companies who, in some cases, would infringe on Bahamians' rights, you see, and I want to bring a case against that company. You see, and because I don't know, as a voter, that's one of the persons who supported a particular party in campaign donations in the probably millions and millions of dollars. At the end of the day, I done lost. So, I wonder if Madam Justice, because they say justice used to be blind in the Bahamas, I guess she ain't blind no more. Mm-hmm. I just would like to know how good could she see. Because I bet my life she could see dead good for the Free National Movement government. You understand? And that is unfair. Steve, that is why if you only have a quarter of a brain, a little small bit of sense, we will then come to the conclusion that there must be a change in our Constitution. That man or that woman, unfortunately, we haven't had a woman run this country yet. That's unfortunate. Because I'm sure if we did put a woman in power by now, she would have been doing some of these dumb things I see some of these supposed to be educated people to do.
Well, listen, let me get on track and ask you a question, Amos, because really, the Prime Minister, by the Constitution of the Bahamas, has the power. You know that he has the power, and we talked about this before on other shows.
Yeah.
When the statement was made by myself and others about the maximum leader, it was not a derogatory statement per se. It was one that's based upon the Constitution of the Bahamas that allows for the Prime Minister to have these powers to do what he is able to do in the governance of the country. He has the power. The Prime Minister does. He utilizes powers to continue with a smooth running of the country. The whole idea of making sure that we were able to replace the justice who has gone off to The Hague is so that we can have continuity, so that we can have a smooth operation, so that we can hear the cases without anything being backlogged. That's the whole premise of making sure that things are running efficiently and effectively in the country. Well, that's the premise.
So that's the premise? The premise is based on what they think or what they want you to believe. But the truth of the matter, Justice Hall, former Chief Justice Hall, says, one of the things he said, the government need to keep their hands out of the business of the courts.
Judiciary, right.
The judiciary. The
it's
judiciary.
A separation, right.
It should be a separation. Mm-hmm. Steve, and I'm going to conclude, because this is a wonderful show, and I want other people to get on. I close by saying this. Steve, at the end of the day, the Prime Minister, this is my point I'm trying to make, has too much power. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem if you have honest men who are going to be Prime Minister and look out for the majority of the people. Mm-hmm. I believe the power could be controlled. But if you ever give one man that kind of power and he go on a trip and he trip out, or, you know what I mean, he get drunk one day or get drunk with this power, Steve, you know what damage he could do to our country? It'll take us 50 years to come back.
I appreciate your call and your contribution. Thank you so much. We're talking about it here today on Hot Copy. You can call me and weigh in as well, 326-4367. Give me your honest view now. Give me your honest, unbiased opinion about this matter and look at it for what it is. We're talking about separation of powers, and that there are some who are saying, you know, with disappointment by the Prime Minister of the Chief Justice, Mr. Michael Barnett, that the lines have been merged and not just blurred, but that all things have come into one, and they don't see the independence of the judiciary, I suppose, in a way, because of the past, recent past history of the person who has earned the title and has been sent to that particular high office, Mr. Michael Barnett, because they feel that he is apolitical, and that's because he just recently ran in the parliament the last election. There are some lawyers who spoke with me and said, you know, Steve, basically, when one makes these appointments, he wants to make the appointment based upon somebody who has been with, who's been removed from any area of the Attorney General's office, any area of any major law firm that does business with the government. Graham Thompson does business for and on behalf of the government when it comes to some areas of litigation, some areas of legislation with writing rules and laws and that kind of stuff for the parliament. Of course, Mr. Barnett once was a person who worked there with Graham Thompson. So was Justice Clare Hepburn. People in the judiciary these days, in case those individuals don't realize it, there are colleagues who are lawyers who've been saying that, you know, anyone who wants to be in this area, who gets these appointments, ought to have been out of those areas for at least 5 years, removed from such practices in the Attorney General office or any major law firm that does business with the government at that level, because the perception would be that if they get an appointment, they would be leaning toward the particular persons who they were recently affiliated with. And that's just, I suppose, human nature. People think that, boy, you know, he used to work there, you know, he can be biased for them because he used to work there, that kind of thing. And so we now have a real debate that we ought to be talking about. You know, this is a real one. This is not nonsense. Some people see the marital rape as nonsense. That's another story, and I don't want to bring that up here today. But the point is, this is a real hardcore something for you to bite your teeth into and to put on your thinking caps and think about. Because, as one lawyer said to me, there are presently four justices, that are now on the bench, okay, that have just recently been appointed. And the question comes up, according to some of these lawyers, that if this is about making sure that we rid ourselves of backlog, when these cases come before these four learned people who are obviously qualified to be there, nobody's questioning that, but if these cases come before them, they would have to recluse themselves from these cases, which means that if they're doing that, if they remove themselves from these cases and can't hear these cases, then the perception then is, and the reality is, that there is more backlog because they cannot hear these cases, which doesn't do the system of justice any good. That's an argument that's coming from eminently qualified lawyers who are weighing in and looking at this thing. And I'm hoping that perhaps we will hear from one or two of them on this matter, because, you know, this one is something that we ought to really be thinking about. I don't know if we can do anything about it at this point in time because the appointment has been made. And I don't know if anybody's going to overturn that, but I do know that going forward, there may be someone who jumps up and says they have not been treated fairly because of what they perceive to be the very appearance that something could be biased toward them, in any case, versus the government, because of the appointment of Mr. Barnett, who comes from the inside of the governing party, to be the Chief Justice. Your thoughts. 326-4367, Cable Beach is on the line. How you doing?
Steve, how you doing today?
Peace. All is well.
Excellent. Steve, I want to take another spin at this.
Okay.
And I have a question to ask, but I'm not too sure of the answer. I recall Desmond Bannister complaining about Minister salary the other day.
Yes.
My question, does the Chief Justice, salary is more than a cabinet minister's salary?
I think so, it is.
It's more?
I think so. Or it's around the same rate. I think a cabinet minister makes somewhere around 65 to 80,000 thereabouts.
And well, I think there's
65,000 thereabouts, but I think the when you're a member of parliament, I think you get extra money, so they're looking at a perhaps $80,000 clearance.
And the comment I want to make based on that, if it's more, can it be that the decision is more financial than anything else for Mr. for the now Chief Justice?
Well, I'll tell you this. Michael Barnett is eminently qualified. Michael Barnett's salary, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. My educated guess would be that it is way more than any minister's salary, any prime minister's salary, any attorney general's salary, because he was in a major law firm at Graham Thompson, and he was really the man. I mean, I believe that he made lots and lots and lots and lots of monies, way more than any of these areas of government can pay him. I don't think it's about the money with a person like Michael Barnett. And I'm being genuine with this. I'm sincere. I think that Michael Barnett is one who wants to serve and to put something back into country. A lot of people, when they reach a certain status, when they've made a lot of money, they've secured their families, they want to give back some form of community service. And so they take these positions to help the country along because the country needs their services.
But I think that there's an error in judgment for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because his politics, I mean, he needs to give himself time to breathe. Not just come from a political party and jump to that position and then saying, you know, I can do my job. Yes, it's not a matter of you can do your job. It's a matter of the people that you are serving.
Mm-hmm.
How do they feel about you exercising judgment over them?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I don't agree with that. I think that the Prime Minister needs to correct that.
Okay, I appreciate your call.
Right.
326-4367. This is Hard Copy. We're going to run to some breaks and pay a couple of bills. And I wish that I would hear from some of those learned lawyers who have been making a lot of, talk about this thing. I don't want to say noise. I want to respect them, and I want to be respectful. They have been saying what their views are on this in some quarters. I suppose maybe they have gone quiet because they figure that it's fallen on deaf ears, and they didn't get to change. They didn't get to cause the appointment not to happen. What does that leave the business person? There's a banker who said to me just on the weekend, you know something? We are losing a lot of clients, he says, offshore banks. He says, we're losing a lot of clients because we can't seem to get things right in our justice system. And he says, with this appointment of a person who was mitigating in cases against clients in an office of Graham Thompson at one point, and then sitting there as the attorney general at another point, and now he's a CJ, clients are saying, well, the hell with it. They're going to go elsewhere. What are your thoughts about that? Can we put that into the conversation as well today? Can we consider that? 25 before 6 o'clock. This is Hard Copy. Let's go, ladies. It's time to shed those pounds and be the most beautiful you. Introducing Women's Intuition, the new full fitness workout center on Rosetta Street, upstairs above Indulgence Ladies Boutique. Women's Intuition for a complete workout from head to toe. Open from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays. Fitness is as easy as 1-2-3 at Women's Intuition, Rosetta Street. Catering to teens, adults, retirees, and women from all walks of life. Lowest rates in town guaranteed. Sign up today by calling 322-2847.
Tout Haïtien à la one body. Gardez, protégez tête ou à bien ou avec Prince Lock and Key Company. Protégez maison, entreprise ou soit machine ou avec Pimeye Compagnie sous marché dans affaires sécurité. Qui c'est Prince Lock and Key Company? Rele Mr. Prince pour réparer ou soit remplacer cadenas qui gâté. Yo coupé clé pour remplacer sauté perdu. Prince Lock and Key Chita, Lana Coro Avenue et Watlands Street. Yo louis de lundi à samedi de 7h du matin jusqu'à 5h de l'après-midi. Les professionnels, Prince Lock and Key Company, 326-81-73.
May was a time of restoration. July, a period of storms. But despite the brief setbacks, the prophecy still favors Nicole Martin and the A-Team.
He's the same.
they call it, the AT is ready to do it again.
He understands.
Welcome back. It is 21 minutes before the hour of 6 o'clock. This is Hard Copy, and we're talking about the separation of powers. And, of course, in this particular case, what effect does the appointment of the Attorney General as Chief Justice has on the separation of powers? And, of course, there's a widely held view in the case of Chief Justice Michael Barnett that because he is a political person, one who has been steeped in politics at least for the last 2 years and a bit of part of the cabinet, that he actually run for a seat in Parliament in the last election, that he was a member of the cabinet up to Friday the 21st of August, and was instantly appointed to Chief Justice. People are looking at that as one where they say perceptions can be appearing to be real, that the appearance, it gives the appearance, and it gives one the thinking that, you know, what if, because of his political affiliation recently, that he makes decisions based upon that, and that the prime minister could be perceived as one who would call him and say, hey, old friend, this the deal. Now, of course, that's a troubling thing to even think about, but this is human real life. And so there are those of the public, and there are those in the judiciary, and there are those who are in the legal service who says the appearance that since he is a politician connected to the government, it is the government in the person of the prime minister that is running the courts. It appears then that the liberty of the subject is threatened, in that the prime minister could and may tell him, one of his former ministers, how to rule in a case. What happens if there is a case against the government? People want to know. The perception is that the court would rule against you, the plaintiff, because of the connection between the Chief Justice and the government. Clearly, the appearance or the perception of bias is sufficient for one to say foul. And we're talking about it today. 326-4367, we have Bannister. We'll take that call. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, Steve?
Great, all is well.
I'm the topic. Steve McKinney, the gentleman who was the last caller, he hit the nail right on the head. I guess I'm coming to ask you about Mr. Desmond Bannister. And he asked you the same thing. You think it's all about money, Steve?
No. I don't think in this case it's about money at all.
Okay, it ain't about money.
I think in this case, you know, it's about service.
Then he must talk about the prime minister having so much power. Steve McKinney, do you realize, right, this is a small little place, the Bahamas. There's only 300 and some thousand of us, and we all know one another and so much related, right? Mm-hmm. You could imagine something serious happen, and they'll say, man, we ain't got to worry, the Chief Justice is my cousin, or my uncle, or my friend. Mm-hmm. So we ain't got to worry about that case. So that's why I look at things, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, these political appointments is making sick. That's why I always say it's time for some new laws to change in this country. Well, we cannot be giving the prime minister all of his power. Now, I know it states in the Constitution that he have all his power. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get power, you get power drunk. And you can do anything what you want to do as a leader. Now, a lot of talk show hosts and stuff was quiet on this. Here much people talk about it because so much issues happening in this country.
Yeah.
So it just slide right underneath the table, just like that. And you was one of the vibrant ones who really talking about it. I know Mr. Bodie tried to talk about it, and he didn't talk about it too long. But Steve, one thing I respect you for, when you come to the table, you don't play, Steve. That's what I like you for, and that's what I brag and boast to the people about you with. I say, man, Steve don't play, you know. I say, no, me and Steve are a little follow, but Steve McKinney don't play, man. And Steve, what bugged me this morning when I read the Tribune, did you read the Tribune this morning, Steve?
No, I didn't.
Man, you see what's been in the front. They say a teacher drug a student and had oral sex or something with him, you know? So when you hear you see Steve and you read, when you go home late and you read, good conversation to deal with crime.
All right.
But keep up the good work, Steve.
I appreciate
You're doing a good job.
Thank you for your call and for your confidence. You know, Bannister talks about a person could become a dictator. I mean, we talked earlier in this about the doctrine of separation of powers developed over many centuries and the identification of the three elements of the Constitution derived from Aristotle. And this is in 384, 322 BC. And he said, in the politics, he stated that there are three elements in each constitution. The constitutional seeds of the doctrine were thus sown early, reflecting the need for government according to and under the law, a requirement enforced by some degree of a separation of functions between the institutions of state. Also talks about separation of power is therefore related to the concept of checks and balances. That's key. The notion that government power should be controlled by overlapping authority within the government and by the citizens' rights to criticize government's action and eventually remove the government, if they so wish, at elections. The doctrine simply is that each arm of the government, the executive, which is your cabinet, the legislature, which is the parliament, and the judiciary, which is the courts, vests in a different branch to guard against abuse and tyranny. A government of separated powers is less likely to be tyrannical and more likely to follow the rule of law, the principle that the government action must be constrained by laws. Now, a separation of power can also make a political system more democratic by making it more difficult for a singular ruler, in this case, the prime minister, to become dictatorial. And so we ask that question again today. What effect does the appointment of the Attorney General as Chief Justice has on the separation of powers? Has the lines become, have the lines been blurred? Have they been merged to a point where we can't tell the difference? We can't tell if it's the cabinet making the decision or the judiciary making the decision, even if it's at the courts. This is where a lot of the lawyers of the country differ and disagree and disapprove of the appointment of Mr. Michael Barnett, notwithstanding that Mr. Michael Barnett is eminently qualified, no question, notwithstanding that his integrity is fully intact and that he can competently do the job. It is just because he is considered a politician, since in the last 2 years he ran for office, and within that period he was appointed the Attorney General, and straight from the Attorney General's office into that of the Chief Justice. Now, there are some others who have been, who've gotten some appointments, Candy, in this situation as Justice of the Courts, and they too have been involved in politics, perhaps not at the political level of running for an office, but certainly they would have been appointed, at least one of them would have been appointed to Attorney General, and I speak of the eminently qualified Mrs. Hepburn, who is also a justice now on the bench. And nobody questions Hepburn's qualification at all. But there's also Mr. Bernard Turner, who comes from the Attorney General's office. And of course there's Michael Barnett and at least one other whose name escapes me right now, the last lady who was appointed to a justice the other day, the recently appointed justice that was appointed. Because of the background and the affiliation of the Attorney General's office within the last 2 years, there are some who believe in the judiciary that they have not been removed for a period, an acceptable period of time, like 5 years, for them to be appointed onto the bench. And so people believe that, oh, all these people are politicals. You see the point? And so there are many who ask many questions. I hope that they would ask some this week. We're supposed to have Tennyson Wells today. Our communications were somewhat crossed up, and I think that he knows that he's supposed to be in now, so perhaps we'll fit him in for tomorrow and bring some more clarity to it. But we asked that question today about the separation of powers. Let's go to Reconciler, and we'll go to Carmichael on a cell in just a second. Reconciler, how are you? Okay, let's go to who? Carmichael? We go to that call. Yes, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Hi, doing, Steve.
Peace.
I think this decision by the prime minister reflects a set of wrong precedent in terms of putting someone in charge of chief justice who was a part of his cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, What I'd like to say is basically, if the chairman of the of the Afanem Brothers, the Commissioner of Police, the Prime Minister is able to appoint or work, have influence over the Commissioner of Police, as well as now you have someone in judiciary, he is a part of the legislation to make the laws. So you have someone who is making the laws, appoint people in the Senate to approve the laws, and someone in the judiciary who acts on the laws, and the Commissioner and Commonwealth of Police, Commissioner of Police and the Commonwealth Defense Force who are executing the law. And what it really shows is that every 5 years in this country, we voluntarily vote for a parliamentary dictatorship because we have a system that that was given us from a free when we were a colony and we refused to reform the system.
Yep.
It's not so much the man.
Mm-hmm.
It's the system that we have in place that the Prime Minister has so much power. We can't, like, we agitating for capital punishment in the local grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even get that going. We agitating for constitutional reform. We can't get it. Everything is done by virtue of what the Prime Minister wants, who is elected by the people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no power to the people except every 5 years to mark their ass, and that's it. It's like you're hiring someone for a job, and no matter how poorly they do, you have to suffer for 5 years before you have recourse or redress.
Do you think anything can happen as far as redress is concerned with this? I mean, Mr. Bond has already been appointed, and
he's already appointed. It's like, look, this man, the Prime Minister at the time was on vacation. The Prime Minister came back and took a trip that land to open up a consular office while Michael Bond was being sworn in. I mean, so where does this, I mean, we are fools as human people to believe. We have power. We only have the power to vote. That's it. I mean, our court was done in secrecy. The Bahama deal was done in secrecy. We can't even get information in this country in 2009.
I appreciate... go ahead.
So as a young Bohemian, this is, I feel as if that we are fooling ourselves because what we really have is a dictatorship that we go for every year. And then we have real constitutional reform and bring back power to the people and stop vesting in these maximum leaders. One day we're going to put someone in there who doesn't have certain values and is going to drag this country down to peril. And it's going to be too late before we can do anything.
I appreciate your call. And I thank you for expressing your sentiments because, truly, we have a country to build and all hands on deck ought to be building the country. That's what it's all about. Now, we have more calls that we want to go to on the telephone line, but just on a point of interest, people ought to know that the Prime Minister who has that power by virtue of the Constitution gives him that power. It's a lot of power. The previous government tried to do something about constitutional reform, and the Free National Movement also wanted to do some things about constitutional reform. There have been a number of recommendations made as far as constitutional reform is concerned, and I have a booklet that I can perhaps share with you tomorrow when I bring it along and show you what some of the things that the group that was led by Paul Adley and company, what they recommended. And they recommended to take some of the powers away from the Prime Minister in this. But of course, that never saw the light of day. These were just early recommendations that were made. And so the Bahamian people ought to take a serious look at it for real and to understand whether or not they want to seriously sit down and look at a constitution being reformed so that some other things can be reflective in this constitution that will in fact balance things out. But as it stands right now, the nation's chief executive, the Right Honorable Hubert Alexander Ingraham, Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, did nothing wrong. He acted upon the avenue that's available to him to pick the Chief Justice of his choice. And that is the best appointment that they saw, and that is the way it is. Whether we like it or not, that Mr. Michael Bannett is your Chief Justice is something that perhaps in other quarters people would call a done deal. That's the way it is. Is there recourse? I don't think that you have any recourse in this particular one. And so many people are left with the view that we better get used to it and pray and hope that all things always work well and that we don't run into any kind of sticky situation where it becomes questionable, where this whole thing about appearance of being biased or untoward against some subject may come to the fore. Because if it does, I'm sure that we'll have another crisis right there and some long wrangling about whatever that case may be. And we pray that nothing like that happens, but all things are possible. Cell phone caller, let's take that call. It's 8 before the hour. How you doing?
Hello,
Steve. Yes, sir. How are you?
Yeah, one thing I can say, and I always say this every time I get an opportunity to call the show,
mm-hmm.
every time the Prime Minister in power is some controversy stuff that he do. Every time, from 10 years ago to now.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of quick points. I heard you made a comment that it's not about money, it's about service. You know what a service? Those lady down by St. Anselm Church, every morning would serve those school children a meal, go to the table, take their order,
mm-hmm.
and whatever they want, they take it back to them. Mm-hmm. That's service.
Mm-hmm.
You want service? Go to the Red Cross. Go join the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's where service is. To me, all it is about prestige, about a name. Before Michael Barnett run in the 2007 general election, I didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know that Michael Barnett is the Chief Justice.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's what it's all about. It's just about making a name or doing something for somebody and making a name. It's like the caller who said just now. The Prime Minister has the whole judiciary, the police force, everything on lock. And Mr. Thompson, Sidney Thompson made reference to you sometime last week when he said about these educated people in the Bahamas back in the 50s when we didn't have as much educated people. Those people believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
Those people stand up for something.
Mm-hmm.
Today, people don't believe in nothing. Everybody has this big education, so they say, and can't even stand up for nothing. The other day, Mr. Fajr Mustawas in Pakistan did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He signed the Chief Justice. What the lawyers did? The lawyers take to the streets.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyers take to the streets.
You're not going
to
see that here in the Bahamas.
I know, see it, because everybody only care about themselves.
Yep.
Believe that.
Mm.
Another point, Steve. Another quick point.
Sure.
The point about the RRT situation.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Ms. Duncan today on the show earlier, and she made a question that the trees are invasive species. How come all of a sudden these trees just invasive species? They're all around now, so they're all on table feet.
Mm-hmm.
They're all on monitor. They all around us. All of a sudden now, they're invasive. Nothing's supposed to grow on them. What you want to grow on them? Grass? What's supposed to grow on them?
Mm.
If you put the earth around them and you put more earth on them, you think flowers wouldn't grow around them?
Mm.
Any tree, what grows big, that has big roots, nothing can grow around that tree unless you pull it up with dirt and plant something around it. So everybody went something to them when they, if these people really believe me, that ignorant man, they really believe
me. I hate your passion. I hear your love for country. I hear that you want to make a change. I hear that you want to do something about it. I hear that you want to build the country. I appreciate you calling, brother. Yep, Peacemaker, how are you?
Hi, Steve. Peace. Good afternoon.
All is well.
Yes, yeah, Steve, I was on the self-imposed silence for a little while, okay?
That sounds familiar.
But a friend said, man, come on, we need to hear from you.
Okay.
But I want to congratulate Michael Barnett on the appointment of the Chief Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Steve, in my opinion, I do not see where the doctrine of the separation of power, as we know it,
mm-hmm.
was violated. In the sense that we have a legislature and an executive
mm-hmm.
that is virtually the same. So if there's no separation between the legislature and the executive, then... You know,
no, but there is separation. The legislature is really your parliament, your complete parliament.